Joshua Hecker. I'm a software engineer at Lockheed Martin, and basically here today to talk a bit about validation and verification of autonomous systems, and presenting essentially a framework for doing that. So first of all, a bit about my group, kind of where I work and our interests in ROS. So I'm at the Autonomous Systems Group in Littleton, Colorado. That's our office there. We're a pretty small group, in the size of, you know, about 100 people. But we do have multiple projects that are built on or extending ROS, where ROS is the core architecture. We have several ground vehicle projects, talking about transport trucks or mining truck fleets. We work with subsurface vehicles, and we work with multiple aerial platforms that are all ROS or Gazebo involved. And so we have a significant investment in vehicle modeling, sensor modeling in Gazebo. A few of these platforms here, Segway RMP 440, which essentially is an off-road ground platform, and Caterpillar 77F, if you've seen a gigantic mining truck, that's essentially what we're talking about here, and Neptek Opal, which is a 3D LiDAR sensor, so you may be familiar with some of these. And, you know, I think a lot of the people in the room are already familiar, but if not, you know, just so you are aware, you know, ROS and Gazebo are commonly requested by our customers, by, you know, agencies, government agencies, proposal calls, all sorts of places. So, you know, ROS and Gazebo are in demand. It's what they are looking for us to be working with. And so that's great. That's all well and good. We enjoy working with ROS. I definitely do. As you might expect, though, we have a lot of, you know, rigidity and process that is requested as part of our, you know, completion scenario that our customers ask for. And so then we get into questions about validating and verifying the autonomy software, right? So, you know, we're trying to ensure specification fulfillment for the customer. We're talking about, you know, proper functionality. Does it do what it's supposed to do? And of course, safety, right? So safety is a critical piece of all of this. And some of you may be familiar with this verification validation, you know, sort of Venn diagram here. This is fairly standard in software engineering. And so you have a trade-off between, are we building the product right? Are we building the product correctly? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? And then are we building the right product? So are we accomplishing what the customer has asked us to do? And so there's a number of different tests that we can do. I'm sure some of you are familiar out there with things like unit tests, integration tests. On the other side of the circle, you know, customer acceptance. So we have to verify, again, is the customer happy with this? And what it comes down to, and I'm sure everybody in the room is familiar if you work with autonomous robots, is that the performance of those robots is notoriously difficult to guarantee, to prove to the customer, yes, this works, this does what it's supposed to do. So, you know, we ask questions like, how can we test all of the real-world scenarios that you've asked for? How can we ensure that the tests that we're running succeed or fail, or are they simply new behaviors that we haven't seen before, right? And so we have to, you know, work to sort of lock those down and define them. And if we add machine learning into that, that's a whole nother layer, many more layers, in fact, of complexity, of time, of possible outcomes. So there's a lot of challenges here, is really what it comes down to, into verifying, validating these systems. So, you know, a traditional approach over the years might be a pure simulation. It could be in something like Gazebo or a related type of simulator. And using those has a lot of things that you gain, but I think, you know, anybody out there who's using Gazebo, we can agree that there's some drawbacks, right? So obviously we have computational requirements. So we have sensors that are being rendered. We have actuation that's being rendered. And the harder we work, the more time and money we put into developing those, the longer it takes and the more it costs computationally and monetarily to actually, you know, do that correctly, right? And then on top of all that, the looming truth is that no matter what we do, there's still going to be a reality gap that we can't cross. We can't get there completely, right? And so, you know, this is kind of the bad news. This is the hard thing that we want to accomplish. We want to solve the problem. We want to get to. And so, what I'm here today to talk about is a possible solution. And so, some of you may be familiar with this acronym. This is fairly standard in my group, and we're trying to kind of get it out there. But typically, we call this live virtual constructive simulation, or LVC. So essentially, we have a combination of three things I've highlighted here in red. We have we have the ROS autonomy software running on a live asset, so a real robot. So in that case, we're attempting to minimize the reality gap. We're running it on a real robot. And then what we're doing is we're representing that live asset in Gazebo using a virtual avatar. I'll talk a little bit about more what that means, but essentially we're trying to have a one-to-one mapping between our physical robot and our simulated robot. And what we want to do with that simulated avatar is we want to minimize the computational requirements and the development costs. And we do that by essentially modeling only the essentials. So what is the most important thing, you might ask yourself, for your robot to study and accurately simulate? Is it LiDAR? Is it sensors? Camera, perhaps? Things like that is what you have to take into consideration. And then we use the constructive piece to map the live asset onto the virtual avatar into a unified environment. So this essentially requires accurate tracking of the live asset. I'll talk about essentially how we're doing it here and how you might do it, you know, in your system in the future. And so what this is going to do is it's going to provide rapid testing, the ability to rapidly test real robots in challenging environments, right, but that are not actually dangerous to the real robot. So we can simulate realistic collisions in Gazebo with minimal danger to the actual system. So now I'm going to walk through essentially an example instantiation of this LVC for purposes of this talk. And you know, you all out there who, with your own real robots, your own simulations, you know, you can sort of fill in here as appropriate where it would work out for you. So we're starting here with an off-the-shelf, open-source hardware platform called a Swarmy. So this is developed as a collaboration between NASA Kennedy Space Center, the University of New Mexico, and a small startup called Swarmy Technologies. So this is our physical asset, and we're going to use a Vicon system to track that asset. I assume most of the audience is familiar here with what's going on with the Vicon system, but essentially, if you're not, we're going to be tracking our physical asset using passive markers on the robot and the infrared cameras in the Vicon system, right? So we're track the robot wherever it moves around in the space. Then we have this virtual avatar in Gazebo. So this is in this case that I'm presenting today, this is an unactuated Gazebo model. So it doesn't have any actuation, it doesn't drive itself, but it does have the sensor simulators that we need. In this case, I'm gonna be talking about LiDAR. So it's essentially a model of the robot that's carrying on board with it the sensor that we are interested in studying. And of course, we're taking the data from the Vicon, and we're using that data to place the Gazebo avatar and map it to where the real robot is in the real space. Once we do that, we can then take the simulated sensor data, pass it to the real physical robot, and the real robot will behave, it will trust the simulated data, and behave as if it were inside of the simulated environment. Right? So what's going on here is we have the physical Swarmy. It's in, you know, some space in the real world, but it's going to behave as if it is inside of Gazebo, and it's avoiding collisions or dealing with tough situations like the robot would if it really were in this environment. A little bit of implementation details for those who might be curious. So what we're talking about here is fairly standard. Everyone, I imagine, is familiar with the navigation stack in ROS. So this is what we're running on board the robot move base. In terms of the actual Swarmy, we have odometry input, standard encoders in IMU. We have a LiDAR VLP16. We're using SLAM G-mapping package to generate the occupancy grid offline. So we drive around our space in the real world. It maps to the simulation, and then we can generate a map. We're then using AMCL to localize against that occupancy map in real time. In terms of the Gazebo model, so again, this is an unactuated model, so any of the actuation, any of the driving ability of the robot is disabled. So what it does have on board is a simulated VLP16, and again, a lot of familiarity out there, I'm sure, with the Velodyne simulator package to replicate the real LiDAR. The avatar itself is set to be static with gravity disabled, so we can essentially control it, put it wherever we want. And to control that, to place it where we'd like, we're just using the simple call in Gazebo, set world pose, which allows us to just, you know, constantly update at whatever rate the Vicon data is coming in this case 100 hertz, constantly update the avatar and place it where we'd like it to go. So moving to a demonstration video here, what you see is side by side, the real Swarmy, of course, on the left, the avatar on the right. And we essentially overlap the two of those. So you can see, you know, we now have this sort of semi-transparent environment. This is the cafe model for those who might be familiar with that in Gazebo. And so what's happening here is the real Swarmy is driving around our high bay at Elmas. And in the simulated environment, we're tracking the cafe using the simulated LiDAR. So we're doing a little bit of play here in the video to kind of, you know, demonstrate what's going on. But essentially, you're seeing this robot base its navigation, so it's doing waypoint navigation around the high bay using the SLAM and AMCL data that's coming through from the LiDAR. So we're going to bring in here the RVIS map. And as we can see here, so the boundaries there, some of the tables and things like that from the simulation are showing up in the map. And we can see the path of the real robot as it navigates autonomously from waypoint to waypoint. And we bring it, sort of bring it in close here, have it finish up as we're doing this fusion of simulated and real. Okay, so some discussion. So obviously this is a you know, proof of concept, a very simple starting place. The goal here was to essentially present to you all a low-cost, low-risk prototype that we could do with this LVC architecture. But what we're hoping here is that this opens up a number of new possibilities for VNV, autonomy VNV, with real platforms. And so I'm going to kind of talk through some of the limitations and what the future work holds for myself, my group, and hopefully to get some of you all interested in there, some of the challenges that you may want to you know, take on and face if you're interested in this type of thing. So first of all, the LiDAR fusion here is essentially brute force. So all we're doing here is taking the LiDAR point cloud, handing it off to SLAM, and sort of crossing our fingers and seeing what SLAM makes of it. What we'd like to do is more intelligently fuse LiDAR coming from the real robot and LiDAR coming from the simulation. So that way, when we have a boundary in the real world, like you saw that large pole or perhaps netting or whatever it is that you have in your real space, you'd like the real robot to take those into account as well as the simulated platform. So we want to work on some ways of combining those two things. As you noticed here in the simulation, we only had LiDAR implemented, so there's not a lot, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do with that in terms of learning. So what we'd like to do for improvements here is look at, for instance, physical to simulated camera fusion. So we may have a simulated camera working in Gazebo with realistic models we'd like to then combine with things that the robot encounters in the real world. Obviously, you know, those who are might be familiar with Vicon out there, Vicon is fairly fickle and picky about the way it works and how accurately it will track. So there's a lot of limitations here for tracking with Vicon. We're locked down to a small space. It has to be stable. You can only get a robot so big. So if you want to have a mining truck, you obviously can't get that inside. And so what we'd like to look at here is investigating outdoor tracking, things like differential GPS, ways of tracking your robot accurately outside on, say, a track. Where you would drive your robot around in circles and then pass it, you know, obstacles, simulated obstacles that it might have to deal with. Obviously, the demo tests here were, you know, sort of entry level, simple ROS functionality. We're just using, you know, a simple nav stack and move base. So we'd of course like to extend that to a production level ROS code base. That, you know, different things we have for our different vehicles. Testing that, you know, with a more realistic scenario. The evaluations that you saw here were hand-designed. They were one-off. So they were things that that I set up with, you know, collaborators. You know, we placed the cafe model. We aligned it. We you know, kind of, you know, place all these things and obstacles in one place. But what we'd really like to be doing is doing some automated Monte Carlo testing. So this is the kind of thing that's going to really get us into autonomy VNV. So if you want to drive around on a track, if you want to test encounters with different vehicles, you can do that over you know, a period of hours in your simulated area. You can pass in you know, obstacles that you need to deal with in the real world, and you can have, you know, automatic variation between those, right? So you may want to hand in different types of vehicles. You may want to hand in simulated pedestrians. You may want to vary those slightly, right? So this is what essentially when we get into Monte Carlo testing, where we can calculate over an average of 100 or 1,000 different scenarios, you know, how well did we perform? How often did we hit the obstacle or avoid it? So those are kind of a list of things for myself and for all of you who might be interested in this of sort of next places to go, next things to look at. And with that, I guess I'll wrap up. I'd like to offer my thanks here to my fantastic video editor, Riker Shoot, who's a software engineer working with me, to Elmas for general support, and also to all of you for listening. So I really appreciate it, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
first of all, very interesting talk and great work. So you've sort of done a hybrid hardware in the loop testing here, right?
Right, exactly.
So AMCL and the NavStack is running on the real robot.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What I don't quite sort of get, what's the importance of running the real robot in this case where you can run the NavStack on the real robot just statically and run the simulation aspect of it where the real software runs the robot, but instead it's you're shooting the synthetic data so it can just run on the simulator on its own, right? You don't need to run the real robot, right?
Right. Well, so in this case, what we'd like to do is have the robot actually moving. So first of all, we'd like to test actuation on the real robot, right? And on top of that, we kind of just scratched the surface here. But what we'd really like to be doing is combining sensor input from the real robot and the simulated robot. So in the demonstration you saw here, proof of concept, relatively simple, but we'd like to be using, for instance, LiDAR coming from the real robot and the simulated robot together.
But I got that through your talk, but I didn't get the VNV sort of use case of doing exactly that. Maybe I'm missing that here.
No, that's okay. The goal would be that you'd like to test the robot, for instance. A lot of times we have these discussions of trying to catch up to a Google or a Tesla or something like that, where millions of miles out on the road. And so the scenarios we imagine here are a vehicle, again on say a track, right, on a racetrack, and you'd like to track a real vehicle, real actuation, but you want to pass in again, simulated obstacles, simulated encounters. So the idea would be here that you can essentially simulate the encounter with an obstacle, with a pedestrian, whatever it is, and you might run that thing over, right? That could happen. That would be okay, and you would essentially be able to keep track of that data. So essentially, the idea here is that we're trying to prove the validity and the strength of the system without actually putting the vehicle and passengers or pedestrians or whatever in danger.
Right, the safety of the intended function.
Exactly. Okay, exactly.
Cool. Thank you.
Yep. Hello. I must say, I think the idea is really cool, and I can see the potential of it being very useful. I'm a bit concerned about actually making it be reliable and robust, and I'm talking here about technicalities like the round trip of the whole loop. I think it's very much non-negligible. Even one way, even if you just connect the Zeebo output to something else, the delays are non-negligible. So if you go all the round trip to Vicon and whatnot, it gets laggy, I guess.
It could get laggy. Expensive, yeah.
And secondarily, which I find even as a bigger concern, is what if your simulation can't keep up? Like, Gazebo has the real-time factor, right? If you are not at 1.0, everything starts to skew heavily.
Absolutely.
So my follow-up question is, did you guys think about that? Or is Gazebo the right tool to do it? Or, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So kind of thinking about, where we might go with some of those things, I think in the real world with the real, mining truck or whatever it might be, the large vehicle, what we'd most likely be doing there is doing all the work on board. So we'd be tracking with something like differential GPS, something that will give close to, something in the centimeter accuracy range, not as accurate as Vicon, but exactly as you said, less fickle, hopefully less overall round trip time. So I can imagine this essentially with a truck, with a server of some kind that's running inside the vehicle simulating. Then as far as the simulator, so of course, ROSCON, tying into Gazebo, tying into ROS, this is the tool we wanted to set up here, but absolutely, pick your simulator, whatever it is that you might be interested in. In terms of cost, CPU computationally wise, you're right. It is a balance. I think kind of going back to the beginning of the talk, the goal here is to think about, what is the most important thing for you to model? If you're able to cover, the key sensor, LiDAR, camera, or whatnot, you may have to sacrifice other sensors. You may not be able to model everything. So there are obviously some limitations there. That said, we're starting with a proof of concept, but the goal is to extend it out to things like that. So that's kind of the setup I would imagine in the future: differential GPS, onboard server, wired LAN, that sort of thing.